It is truly a joy and an honor and a privilege to be here with you this morning and throughout this week. It is my prayer that the things that I'm going to share with you from God's Word will be an encouragement to each one of you. I don't apologize, but I have nothing new to tell you. I'm here to share with you the old gospel, the truth, the Word of God. And I hope that's good news, that I'm not here to try to innovate you with new ideas and a new doctrine that is not a new doctrine, but here to preach what thus saith the Lord. I'm thankful to the elders for allowing me to be back and for your fine preachers for extending to me the invitation to be here with you for these series of lessons. The theme is discovering the truth, discovering the truth. And that's what I'm here this week to do, and that is to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you have your copy of God's Word, I hope that you'll follow along with me. Because the only way that you can verify the thing that I'm going to say is that you use your copy of God's Word to make sure that I'm preaching the Word of God, the truth. This morning, we're going to talk about the truth about the Bible. The big B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, God's Word. And there are some things about God's Word that we need to know and we need to be assured of from time to time. And so this morning, I want to start the first lesson off discovering the truth about the Bible. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Psalms 119. And there are four verses that I want you to look at before I unfold four general points about the Bible that I want you to take from this lesson this morning. David said to us, the psalmist, said in Psalms 119 and verse number 11, Psalms 119, we'll start at verse number 11. I could quote that verse, but I want to read it. It is such a beautiful verse. Talking about the Bible, talking about the Word. The psalmist said, the Word of God have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. If we want to please God, if we want to walk with God, if we want to spend an eternity with God, we need to get to know the book called the Bible. And we need to take the Bible, God's Word, and place it inwardly in our heart, our mind, and let it guide us. Let it direct us. Let it lead us. Let it transform us, that we become like the author of the Bible. This week, I'm not here to try to make a name for Sam Jones, because who I am is not important. It's what I preach is what is important. In Acts chapter 4, back in verse number 13, when Peter, James, and John, they were apprehended for preaching God's Word, and they stood before that great body of Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrins, they discovered several things about them, that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But there was one other thing they discovered about those gospel preachers, that they had been with Jesus. I hope this week that you'll discover one thing, that I've sat at the feet of Jesus, and that I've been touched by the Master's hand, and that my life, I try to radiate the Word of God. And so who I am is not important, but what I'm going to preach from God's Word, I hope will be an encouragement to you. And that's why David said to psalmist, the Word of God have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God, but that I might please God. That's my ultimate desire, and I hope it's your desire, to want to please God. And the only way that you and I can please God is that we need to make sure we know God. And the way we come to know God is by knowing the book that he's authored. Now look at Psalms 119 again. Look at verse number 97. Psalms 119, verse number 97. The psalmist wrote, oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy word. Oh, how I love thy commandments, and I meditate on them all day long. You just don't memorize verses, but you read the Word of God and you reflect on those verses. You reflect on those words, that what they're saying to you, not that you can teach someone else what's right or wrong all the time, but what you can glean from those words that will make you more in the image of God. And that's why David said, oh, how I love the law. I hope that you love the word of God as much as God loves you. And if you don't love the word of God, I hope that you will develop within you, young people, a passion. I'm thankful to God that I had a sweet grandmother named Naomi that gave me this copy, this Bible here in 1974, and I've shared it with you. This Bible has been with me in my hand since 1974. It's falling apart. And I've taped it together, I've glued it together and done everything because it means so much to me, but not just because my grandmother gave it to me, but because it tells me about God. Look at Psalms 119 again. Look at verse 103. The psalmist went on to say the word of God, not only had he hid the word in his heart, not only did he love the word of God, but he said the word of God is sweet. Oh, it's sweet. Sweet like honey to the mouth. The word of God is sweet. The word of God, if you comply with it, it'll make you happy. I don't know about you, but I can't remember in the last 10 years of my life not being happy. Prior to that, I can remember many days being unhappy. Many days life being filled with stress and anxiety. But I made a commitment 10 years ago in my life that I was never going to allow myself to be unhappy. And that's when I really began to glean into God's word. And I can truthfully say that in the 10 years, I cannot remember a day that I haven't been happy. Because you know what? Every day I spend some time with this word here. And assures me that everything that's going to occur today, God can take care of. And God can handle it. And so why am I going to worry about it? God can handle anything that Satan can throw at me today. The word of God is sweet. And I hope that you will love the word of God. But then there's one more verse I want you to look at. Psalms 119, look at verse 105. Not only did he say, I've hid the word of God in my heart. Not only did he write, oh, how he loved the word of God and that it was sweet. He said, the word of God is a lamp, is a light. Let the word of God lead you in this dark world. Fall in love with the word of God. Now, that's what the psalmist said about the word of God. And there are some facts about the Bible that every one of us need to be reminded of. And so the truth about the Bible this morning, I want to share with you four general facts about the Bible. And that'll be the lesson. Four simple facts. Again, I have nothing new to give you. I have nothing new to share with you. But I want to reassure you of some things you already know. Paul said a good preacher in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is one that put the brethren in memory of things they already know. I want to fall into the category of being a good preacher. And I want to reaffirm some things that you already know about the word of God that we are to hide in our hearts. About the word of God that we are to love. About the word of God that is sweet. About the word of God that it should be a lamp to us. The first thing I want you to know about the word of God, the Bible, is that you can trust the Bible. I mean, that ought to be comforting to you. That you can trust the Bible. There are people that would have you believe that you can't trust this book. That this book is unreliable. The first thing you need to know about the Bible is that you can trust the Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 16. It's a familiar verse. The Bible says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Every verse from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, every verse was given by God, inspired, meaning God breathed, meaning these words came from God. The writers of the Bible were permitted to use their various styles of writing, but yet they wrote what the Holy Spirit, they wrote what God told them to write to give to us. This morning, if you want to know what God thinks on a matter, if you want to know what God thinks on a subject, open up the book. That's not a subject you can raise this morning that the Bible has not addressed directly or indirectly. That's not a subject you can raise. We don't have to fuss and fall out over doctrines and teachings. All we have to do is open up the book. God has spoken. The Bible can be trusted. The Bible is inspired. This book is from God. And if we can't trust this book, we are all men and women most miserable. Amen? Amen. If we can't trust the Bible, we have nothing to live for. If we can't trust the Bible, we might as well die. But we can trust the Bible. The Bible is reliable. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 20. I like what Peter wrote to the saints in Cappadocia and Pontus in Asia. He says, knowing this first, that no part of the scripture, that no part of the Bible is of any man's private interpretation. When you read the Bible, you're not reading Paul's thoughts. You're reading what God put in the mind of Paul to write to us. You're not reading James' instruction to us. You're reading what God told James to write to us to please God. The Bible is the very mind of God given to men, put in the vessels of men, and they use their very styles of writing to convey God's message to us. And that's why Peter says, we don't have to worry about the Bible. It's not man's writing. Knowing this first, that no part, that no verse of the scripture is any man's private interpretation, but there it is, holy men, inspired men of God, spake as they were guided, as they were moved by the word, by the Spirit of God. They wrote as God directed them to write, and we can trust the Bible. Oh, you want to see something beautiful? Turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, I believe, is verse number 27. Listen to what the Bible says about itself in Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 27. Moses, the author, said, and the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. Isn't that beautiful? When you're reading the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you're not reading what Moses thought. You're reading what God told Moses to write to you and to write to all of us. Because the things that are written aforetime was written for our what? Learning. The Old Testament was written for our learning. And when you're reading the Old or New Testament, what you're reading is what God put in the mind of men to tell us what to do to please him. Look at another verse, Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Look at verse 1 and verse number 2. Jeremiah chapter 30. Listen to what the weeping prophet wrote and what the weeping prophet had to say about the word of God. And Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, thou shalt speak the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Write the thing that I have spoken unto thee in a book. When you read the book of Jeremiah, when you read about the messianic, this weeping prophet, you're not reading the words of Jeremiah. You're reading what God told Jeremiah to write to us. What's the point? You can trust the Bible. Amen. The Bible is reliable. There's another verse back in the book of Exodus. I want you to turn back and read again. Exodus chapter 4. This statement is stated in the Bible some 400 times, and it conveys a point. Exodus chapter 4. Look at verse number 22. Over 400 times in the King James, this statement is in the Bible. Listen to the statement. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Over 400 times, the Bible, we can read the statement, thus saith the Lord. The Bible is thus saith the Lord. And that's wonderful. That's assuring. That's comforting. That I can know the very mind of God. And if I can know God's mind, I can please God. And that's what the Bible is. That's why David said, oh, I've hid it in my heart, Sammy. Oh, I love the word of God. It is so sweet. Oh, it's like a lamp. Because the word of God, you can trust. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, look at what the Bible says about itself. And this phrase is mentioned over 50 times in the King James. Listen to this phrase. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said. Not man. And God said. Over and over. And even in Genesis chapter 1, there are about 8 or 9 times you can see the phrase, and God said. When you read the Bible, you're not reading the mind of men. You're reading what God said unto us. And so the point this morning is, you can trust the word of God. Amen. You can trust the word of God. You may not be able to trust men, but you can trust the word of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 37. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Apostle Paul warning us to have the assurance that what he was saying to us was not his words. He penned these words to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Look at verse number 37. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you, listen to this, the things that I write unto you, they're not Paul's words. They're not my words. They are the commandments. They are the teachings of the Lord. Isn't that comforting? That the Bible is not man's instruction to us. The Bible are the commandments of God to us. Oh, if you go to the store and buy something, the first thing you want to know, what kind of warranty, what kind of guarantee did you have on the appliance or the car? You know, I wish they can give on, I have 3 sons. I wish they can give guarantees on daughter-in-laws, but you know, that's another point. I have 3 sons, I tell you what. And that oldest one, he's just turned 27, and one day he's going to get married. Now, he's not ready yet, but one day he's going to get married. Someone just gotten engaged. I'm telling you, I'm hoping one day he can find a girlfriend. If you're looking for a nice Christian man who has a good job, he's 27 years old and he's looking. Daddy's looking. Now, you got to pass by mom. If you can pass her, sir, that's why he doesn't have a girlfriend. Let me move on. Let me move on. But the point is this. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Listen to what Paul told the saints in Galatians chapter 1. And this, oh, I love these two verses here. Galatians chapter 1. Look at verse 11. He says, but I certify. I guarantee. He said, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel, that the commandments, that the doctrines which I preach of me is not after man. As great as Fried Hartman University is, he said, I didn't get this from Fried Hartman University. I didn't get this from Harding University or Yale or Princeton. He said, I didn't get it from man. Look at verse number 12. For neither received it of man, neither taught it, but, that conjunction, but I received it by revelation. God had made known to me. He said, I was able to go into the third heavens. I was an apostle born out of season. And I was able to go into the third heaven. I was able to go into heaven and I was able to sit and talk with God. And God revealed to me, Sammy, God revealed to me, Sammy, what it takes to please him. He said, you can trust the Bible. It's not my thoughts. It's what God put in my mind to write to you. God allowed me to use my style of writing, but he made sure that the things I wrote were the things that he wanted you and everybody in the world to obey in order to please him. The word of God, you can trust. Oh, there's one more verse I want you to look at. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 9 as well as in verse 10. Often at a funeral, you will hear these two verses read. They're so comforting. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Paul wrote, but as it is written, he says, eyes had not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God has made known to us the will of God by the Holy Spirit. Now, as we leave point one and go to point two very quickly, go back to Psalm 68, verse 11. In Psalm 68, verse 11, the psalmist wrote these words that are so comforting and assuring. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it. Who gave it? The Lord gave the word. How did he give it? He by the Spirit sometime, and he spoke to men directly sometime and told them what to write to convey to us his wonderful message, that we can know without a doubt, that we can know with assurance what we need to do in order to please God. We can know the word of God. Amen. The word of God, the Bible, can be trusted. That's a second point you need to know about the Bible. And I won't labor here very long, but that's a second point. The Bible is an amazing book. The Bible is an amazing book. What do you mean, Brother Jones, is an amazing book? Let me share with you some stuff you already know. The Bible was authored by over 40 different writers. They wrote the Bible over a period of 1,600 years. You know that. They were on three different continents when they wrote the Bible, different places, Africa, Asia, Europe, three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic. But you know what? Some were fishermen. Some were legislators in the sense, like Moses, a political leader. They were of different backgrounds, a cowboy like Amos. They were of different backgrounds, but guess what? At different times in history, they authored parts of the Bible, the 66 books. But you know what you can't find in the Bible? One contradiction. Amen. Not one. Amen. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible is amazing. I don't know how many people we have in it today, but if we would go in our separate rooms and start writing something, you're going to have 20, 30, 40,000 contradictions in what we, if we see an accident. But you know what? In the Bible, it can be trusted because it's an amazing book. And the original language, I didn't say in the translations, in the original language, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic, there is not one contradiction in the Bible. And you know why? Because it's from God. Amen. That's why. That's right. That's why there's not one contradiction. And there have been scholars all over, I mean, since the time, have tried to find a Bible in the Bible, a contradiction. But they can't. Scholars have tried to dispute the Bible by trying to say it contradicts itself and this, but they can't find one contradiction in the Bible. You know why? It's from God. It's from God. Turn to Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter 3. I believe it's verse 23. Genesis chapter 3. I just want to show you one of many where the Bible is filled with, where it harmonizes, where the writers are in different times, but yet they support one another. I believe it's in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 23, where man were told to leave the Garden of Eden. Is that correct? They were cast from the Garden of Eden because of sin. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 22. When the Bible is closing, listen to these beautiful verses. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13 and verse 14. I am Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may what? Have a right to what? The tree of life. In the book of Genesis, because of sin, they are removed from the garden to partake of the tree of life. But then the harmonizing the book of Revelation, God's wisdom is that those that would do his will, those that would obey his instruction, will one day be able to return to the garden forever and ever and ever and partake of the tree of life. There is not one contradiction in the Bible. You know why? It's from God. It's from God. That's a third fact you need to know about the Bible. And that fact is, we have all the truth. Did you hear what I just said? We don't have some. We don't have part. We have all the truth. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. We have all the truth. And if you're going to date one of my sons, my wife will know all the truth about you. I'm going to lay off my wife in just a moment. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, God, paraphrasing it, and that verse, God has given unto us all things, not some of the things, not 95%, not 99.9, but God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need to know to please God is right here in the Bible. Because God, in his infinite wisdom, has given us the book that contains everything. You don't need to know what I think, because what I think doesn't matter. What you think doesn't matter. What matters is what thus saith the Lord. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, it's not he that thinketh he's righteous who is righteous. It's not he that feels he's righteous who is righteous. The Bible says, it's he that doeth righteousness who is righteous. So if you want to become righteous in God's eyesight, you better open up the book. There are people saying, oh, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I don't mean to be disrespectful. But there are people who said they've never read the Bible and they just told Jesus to come into my heart and be my personal Savior. I don't mean to be disrespectful. How can you know the instruction without opening up the book?
Amen.
You can't feel your way to Miami, can you? You gonna try to feel your way to heaven? Say, well, I just feel like I'm saved. Can you feel your way to Miami? I challenge anyone to close your eyes or put a blindfold on and go out there and start filling the highways and see, tell me which one will lead you to Miami. I don't mean to be disrespectful. Or go into the grocery store, blindfolded, and you go in there and you say, what are you looking for? Pride of Illinois, a can of corn. Why are you blindfolded? Open up your eyes and read. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to go through life guessing. He wants us to go through life knowing. Turn to 1 John 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13. The Bible says, I like that phrase. The Bible says. You see, when it comes to what you must do and what I must do, we ought to be concerned with what does the Bible instructs us to do? The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you. The Bible was given to us that you may what? Guess. That you may assume. No. The Bible was given to us that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. You see, the Bible is a wonderful book. You can trust it. It's amazing. And we have all the truth in the Bible. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Turn to another verse that I think you and I need to be sure. Turn to John 16, 13. John 16, 13. Jesus returned to heaven. And when he returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit back. What was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? John 16, 13. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into some of the truth? No. Part of the truth? No. All of the truth. Brothers and sisters and friends, we have all the truth because the Bible can be trusted. Because the Bible is an amazing book. Because the Bible contains not some of the truth. It contains all the truth. Everything you need to know to be saved is right there in the Word of God. And all you need to do is open up the book and find a place where it is written, where thus saith the Lord, where God has instructed you, what you are to do to be saved and what I am to do to be saved. I want you to turn to a familiar text. Turn to the book of Acts. The chapter is 10. And I believe it's verse number 32. Oh, Acts 20. Let's try Acts 20. And verse number 32. It is a familiar verse to you. But notice what the Bible says about itself. I could quote it, but I want to read it. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the what? The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And it is able to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In other words, the word of God is able to lift you up when your spirit is down. But it also is able to purify you, to sanctify you, that you can have a home in heaven forever and ever and ever. You know why? God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Let's go back to 2 Timothy again. Chapter 3, look at verse 16. We didn't quote it all earlier, but I want to go back to look at it because the Bible is all sufficient. It contains everything we need to know in order to please God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is all sufficient. It contains everything we need to know in order to understand the teaching of our Lord, to correct us, to instruct us in righteousness. Verse 17, that we may be complete, that we might be mature, thoroughly or throughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible contains all the truth. Let me share with you three familiar verses. Turn to John 8, 32. You know that verse by heart. Because we have all the truth, Jesus made this statement. And he says in John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Free from what? What is it that every one of us we're trying to be free from? Sin. Can we be free from sin? Yes. When we do what? Obey the truth. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 22. Let me turn over there and make sure that I'm quoting that one right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, 1 Peter 1, 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls. How did you purify your soul? In obeying the truth. How do you purify your soul? In obeying the truth. Do we have all the truth? Yes, ma'am. Why? Because we have an amazing book. Why is it an amazing book? It can be trusted. Why can it be trusted? It's from God. The Bible contains all the truth. Everything that you want to know or need to know in order to please God is right here in this book. Before we go to our fourth and final fact about the Bible, I want you to turn to a familiar text that Paul told Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the verse is 15. 2 Timothy chapter, we just read, quoted 16 and 17, but look at verse 15. Listen to what the Bible says about itself. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. That from a child thou hast known the word of God. That from a child thou hast known the instruction of God, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation. What can make you wise unto salvation? The word of God. What's the word of God? The scriptures. The scriptures are from God. God breathed. Finally, let's go over point one, two, and three before we go to the final point. You can trust the Bible. That's why David said, I've hid it in my heart. That's why David said, I love the word of God. That's why David said, it's sweet to me, Sammy. That's why David said, it's like a lamb. You can trust the word of God Number two, the Bible is an amazing book. It's an amazing book. That's why you ought to love it. That's why you ought to spend some quality time with it. Those things that you love, you spend quality time with. I challenge you to find at least 30 minutes a day, more hopefully, where you meditate on God's word, because it's an amazing book. And the more you get to know this book, the more you get to know the author, the true author of the book. And then number three, we have all the truth in the Bible. We don't need a new revelation. We don't need a new hermeneutics. We just need the word of God. The fourth and final point is this. The Bible is going to judge all men on the day of judgment. This book here, you're going to see it again. You may say, I don't want to know it, but on the day of judgment, you're going to see this book again. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means you and I will one day have to stand before God. And when we stand before God at the day of judgment, you know what's going to be there to judge us? This book right here. That's why you need to know it, so you can pass the test. That's why you need to know it so you can hear Jesus say unto you, well done, Sammy. Well done. That's what I want to hear more than anything. I want to hear him say, well done. Amen. You see, 30 years ago, I thought that all I was living for to hear Rhonda say, I will. When I said, Rhonda, will you marry me? And she said, yes. I thought you were never going to ask. And then we planned that wedding a year off, and I thought one day she was going to change her mind. And I remember on June 18th, 1977, I got it right. I memorized it last night to make sure I would get it right. I'm trying to get some brownie points. And I'll tell you, after 30 years of married life, I need all the points I can get. But nonetheless, you need to know this book here that you can please God. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse number 12. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, standing at the judgment of God. And he said, a book was open. A book was open. And another book, which is the book of life. Two books are going to be open on the day of judgment. One, this book right here. The other book is your life. And if there's anything in this book, your life, that contradict this book here, the word of God, the Lord is going to say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. That's why you need to look into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty. And you need to look into it. And sometimes looking into the mirror, you get to see things that you don't want to see. And you make those changes now, because on the day of judgment, it'll be too late to make those changes. Well, what about those people in the world that don't know the word of God? Are they going to be judged by the book? The Bible says that we all are going to be judged by this book. And it doesn't say there's going to be a judgment line for people who don't know God and a judgment line for those who know God. We're all going to be in the same judgment line. And God is going to judge us by the things that are written in the book, the Bible, the word of God. Turn to John 12, verse 48. Jesus says, the word that I've spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. The word that I've spoken unto you, the same shall, John 12, verse 40, the same shall judge you in the last day. The word of God is going to judge every one of us, and every person is subject. Every person is amenable to the law of Christ. Paul made that point very clear in Romans chapter 2. And verse number 16, very clear that we're all going to be judged out of the same book. As I bring this lesson to a close, let's rehearse those four verses in the book of Psalms. And then I want to close with one that we have not looked at. Psalms 119, verse 11. David fell in love with this book. He fell in love with the word of God. And he said, the word of God have I hid in my heart, because you can trust it, because it's a wonderful book, because it's the book that contains all the truth. It's a book that's going to judge me. Have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God? And he said, oh, how I love the book And I meditate on it day and night. Oh, it's so sweet, Sammy. It's sweet like honey to the mouth. And then he says, it's a lamp. It's a light. And it leads me. Now look at Psalms 119. Look at verse number 89. The psalmist wrote these words. Because the word of God can be trusted. Because the word of God is an amazing book. Because the word of God contains all the truth. Because the word of God is going to judge us. He says, forever thy word is settled in heaven. That's right. The word is not going to change, brothers and sisters and friends. People are changing their lifestyle, but the word of God is not going to change. People are changing their faith and their belief, but the word of God is fixed. Amen. It's not going to change. Amen. And if we don't change, we won't see God in peace. God loves you. God loves me. But in order for me to hear Jesus say, God say, well done, I've got to change, not the word of God. May God bless you. May we have a great day this week. The truth about the Bible. Thank you.